You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Yes, it is finally Friday in Auburn and across the world, and we appreciate you being with us, and man, it couldn't have come soon enough. Hope you're doing well on this Friday, April 26th, 2024. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. Happy Friday, sir. Great to see you once again. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, happy to be back in studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika, on the line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390 here on this free-for-all Friday. We've got big draft news after the first round of the NFL draft concluded last night. Kevin Skarbanski gone wild on Twitter. Aiden Holloway, the rash that just won't go away, making comments. You name it, we got everything you want to talk about here. Auburn going to LSU, going to take on those Bayou Bengals in baseball. So we are here for you on this free-for-all Friday. You know the drill at 2 o'clock. You tell the boss man, I'm out. I'll see you Monday. And just close your computer off like in that movie Office Space quickly. Get up and walk out. Go to your car and turn on the radio and continue the party here at ESPN 106.7. Did you watch the draft any last night, Jake?
I did. I will admit, I did have to miss probably the first half of the first round. I was still on the air for Lee Scott Academy postseason baseball. And so I had my phone and had the updates and everything. And so I didn't get to watch it live, but did get to catch the back half of the first round. And by the time Christian Griffin and I got off the air over on Tiger Country 104.5, man, there was all sorts of wild stories and updates going on with the Atlanta Falcons dropping the ball once again and people criticizing Brock Bowers being drafted and number one overall pick. I mean, there's so many things to get into with the NFL draft, and I know you were watching it as well.
Yep, I was with one of our proud partners last night, Baumhauer's over on Bent Creek Drive with Big Kevin Tudhope, Auburn High, class of 1991. Another partner of ours, Wisdom Law Firm, hosted a little get-together out there. So that's Travis Wisdom, and he invited me out, and I went and hung out, and it was a great time had by all. The party went until the end of the draft, which is way too late at night on Thursday night.
It did go late.
They take too long for this, and we know why. I mean, it's just a huge production. It's all about the money, but the commercials are – I mean, the pick is in, and then they'll talk for another 4 minutes or go to commercial. I'm like, if the pick is in, give us the pick. I could wrap this thing up in 2 hours, right? But you know, they're going to drag it on as far as you know. It's like all that talk. We're going to speed up the college football game. It's going on too long, but I don't know, the time slots on the television continue to be the same.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, it was late. I mean, it was after 10 o'clock last night. And I'm like, man, the Packers still have to pick. What are we waiting on? And then we get all the way down to it, and we picked an offensive lineman. But that's okay. That's all right.
Hey,
it's much needed.
In default. Pick an offensive lineman.
And look, it's not that the Packers
especially
didn't
especially in
need
the
one.
First round.
And the guy that we got is a stud. Let me tell you, Jordan Morgan from Arizona, he is a beast. He is a monster in terms of size. Has only given up 2 sacks and like 700 snaps in football or something like that. I mean, it's something ridiculous. So it did win a little late, but so many storylines to get to. And again, if you're an NFL draft person and you watched it last night, listen to it right here on ESPN 106.7, which you can do again tonight and tomorrow for day 2 and day 3 of the NFL draft. And you have some thoughts about it, give us a call, 334-321-1390. No surprise here, though. Caleb Williams goes number 1 overall in the NFL draft. He goes and will be what appears to be the new quarterback of the future in Chicago. And you know what? As a Packers fan myself, I'm not overly stressed about it because I just don't know if I'm overly confident in the future of Caleb Williams and what he's going to be long-term in the NFL.
There were a lot of people I was with last night that followed the NFL very, very closely for a lot of reasons, Jacob. And tons of NFL fans out at Baumhauer's as a whole last night. But I was talking to a few guys that I know and trust very well that follow this stuff day to day. And they're like you. They're like, well, you know, the guy's got talent. Guy's got a huge arm. You know, so did Jeff George, you know, when he came out of college. And but the main point was like 20% of these quarterbacks drafted in the first round, as one local NFL analyst told me, make it. The other 80% never live up to their billing, in his estimation. I got to thinking about it and going back through some of those old drafts like we did Wednesday at some of these first round picks, a la Mac Jones. You know, they're right. It's like the chances of Caleb Williams actually making it and being this force that the Green Bay Packers and the Vikings and the Lions should all be afraid of in what is now one of the toughest divisions in the NFC by far.
It's getting that way.
If it's not, it's right up, it's 1B. And the chances of him just coming in and taking the reins and being Patrick Mahomes 2.0 for the Chicago Bears, statistically from past drafts, just aren't there. And so anytime these players, and you saw it last night, how quickly everyone started moving up to take quarterbacks early in this NFL draft after the Falcons did what they did, kind of lighting a fuse like, oh my gosh, we're not going to get our guy. We better move up, you know, or we better go ahead and draft a quarterback that we think's the quarterback of our future. There were six of them in the first 12 picks, if I'm right. I mean, what's that tell you? 20% of that is maybe – maybe one of them will be the next end-all, be-all in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, the Packers, these teams in the back of the draft, there's a reason why they're in the back of the draft, because they have good seasons, and they normally pick better in the draft and take safe picks like an offensive lineman. And it's, I know it's not sexy.
It's not.
You know, the offensive lineman guy's not going to sell but maybe 5 to 10 jerseys, probably to people in their family. But that's where this thing is won.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb Williams, obviously, is your number one pick. He's falling into a good situation, a better situation that Justin Fields fell into when he was drafted by the Bears.
I agree with that.
The talent around him offensively is completely different than what Justin Fields have. The Bears have the makings of a good, solid offensive team. But still, I would be betting against him or any of these quarterbacks drafted not to make it, and I'm going to win if I bet the field against quarterbacks, against all the quarterbacks drafted.
Yeah, and I'm just giving you the opinion of, and if you listen to the show, you know this. It's not a secret. I'm a huge Packers fan. I've been a Packers fan for most of my life when it comes to NFL football, and I'm not overly scared of Caleb Williams. I'm just not. And he very well may come in and light it up and be the next Lamar Jackson. Might be. Or he may be the next flop. He may be the next number one pick that doesn't work out. And we've seen this time and time again. You brought up Mac Jones a second ago. Guess what? He was so good that the Patriots drafted Drake May last night because he didn't pan out in New England, because they had to go get another quarterback. That's just what has happened in the NFL. You had Jaden Daniels go 2, Drake May go 3, Marvin Harrison go 4, and Joe Dalt go 5. And those are 3 quarterbacks, a receiver, and an offensive tackle.
And we all felt, talking Wednesday, that's kind of how that would play out. We didn't specifically know if Joe Alt would be the guy for Jim Harbaugh at 5 on that offensive line, but we did clearly state that we know that Jim Harbaugh lives and dies by the big uglies on both sides of the trenches, so he got his guy, and he is a big guy, Jacob.
Yes, he is. Intern Allen, your final day here in the studio and on the show. We'll get you some love here in a little bit, but what do you have talking about the NFL draft?
Well, the first thing that stood out to me was it took them until the 15th pick in this draft for a defensive player to go off the board.
Yeah.
And y'all were talking about Michael Penix going to the Falcons. And the Falcons, in the countdown shows, in the mock drafts, all you heard was what? Defensive side of the ball for the Falcons. And if they don't want to get that Dallas Turner or that Latu, they can maybe get some value out of that, trade back so you don't have to take them at 8. And what do? Adam Schefter jumps in and says, hold on, guys. I think they're about to take a quarterback.
Which, and I saw a lot of people talking about this particular thing before we talk about the Falcons making headlines for the wrong reasons. I saw somebody talking on X last night, and it was a whole thread about they have this whole production around the NFL draft. Radio, television, everything. And they do the whole, dun, 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 the pick is in, right? And then, yeah, Adam Schefter jumps in and says, oh, by the way, they're about to pick a quarterback. Let's turn around and see. And then they watch, and oh, wow, it's a quarterback. Like, I don't understand. If you're going to do this whole production of it, why are you going to let your analyst sit on the table and break the news 10 or 15 seconds before? It just kind of ruins the whole event, right, Alan?
Yeah, the one thing I will say is I don't know if it was my TV or just the TV coverage in general. I was scrolling through Twitter during the draft, and there would be times when they would or when outlets would tweet who the pick was before it got revealed on TV.
And I think, you know, TV, radio, whatever, I think that's just the delay nowadays in the way we consume media compared to social media, because social media is so instant and immediate.
Totally fair point.
And I think that's kind of what happened. But I saw somebody talking about that, so that was interesting. But yeah, how about the Falcons, who shocked the world in one of the most confusing picks you're going to see in an NFL draft. And we are not GMs. We are not owners. We are not coaches. We are not anywhere near an NFL franchise. And most people are not. But the Atlanta Falcons, with the 8th overall pick in the draft, after just signing their future quarterback to millions and millions and millions of dollars, they draft Michael Penix Jr., the Washington quarterback who has gotten some flack, has gotten some hate because of his size, because of his injury problems, and people wondering if he is the real deal. But the Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins to a $180 million contract for 4 years. And their very first move in the NFL draft, Uncle T-Bone, is to take a quarterback.
There have been several Heisman quarterbacks in the history of the NFL draft and their careers in the NFL that were complete flameouts. Like Andre Ware, remember him?
Yeah.
For Detroit. I mean, I have his rookie football card still because I thought he was going to be the next Warren Moon. And, you know, he might be – I think he's like on ESPN Ocho calling football games. And, I mean, you know, so Michael Penix Jr. – had a fantastic season last year, led his team to the national championship game, looked great in just about every game until he played Michigan. And I'm not a general manager of an NFL team, and I've done a lot of digging into this pick today because it was so shocking to everyone. I will say this, y'all, you said something about ESPN and Schefter getting on there and saying that that was the pick that was coming in. I noticed right before they announced the pick was coming in that they went by camera to Michael Penix Jr. at his house. And I was thinking to myself, why are they panning to Penix Jr. right now for this Atlanta pick? Are they about to mess up and take this guy? And I said that to a buddy of mine over at Baumhauer's. He's like, no, Uncle T. They're going to take Dallas Turner. They've been talking about it all year.
The best defensive player in the first round.
Perhaps.
I think.
You know, he's solid. There's no doubt about it. Dirty Dallas Turner's a player. I kind of thought the Raiders might end up taking him because he'd be the quintessential Raider, but they ended up taking the quintessential Raider 2.0 in this draft and Brock Bowers. We'll get to that in a second. But I was like, there's no way they're about to take this guy, and they do. And look, this is nothing – that I think Michael Penix Jr. can be a very successful NFL quarterback. And if he was Atlanta's guy that they see is going to be the future of their entire program, their entire franchise, good for him and good for them for getting their guy. But why in the world, if he was their guy, why in the world did they send 8 staff members after senior day out there, including the general manager to Seattle, Washington, spent a couple of days interviewing and talking to him? Why in the world did they do all of that and keep it hush-hush to draft him? And they obviously kept it very hush-hush until right there at the bitter end. Why in the world did they do all that and pay Kirk Cousins over $100 million guaranteed money to come in as a free agent? I mean, I understand you may not want Penix Jr. to be your guy this year, and you might want him to learn behind a veteran quarterback who had zero idea and was completely shocked that the franchise he just signed with were going to take another quarterback and it be the Heisman Trophy winner. Why did they do that? That doesn't make good sense. That's not good business sense. Now they're going to have to pay two guys starting quarterback money when you could have gone out and put some weapons around Kirk Cousins or a weapon around Kirk Cousins with that first pick, or build up your defense, build up your roster somehow better, and just kind of go with Kirk Cousins for a couple of years and see if the next quarterback comes along, because I promise you there's going to be a litany of the next quarterbacks next year in every NFL draft moving forward.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up an interesting point where maybe the Falcons wanted their guy for the future, but they didn't want to throw him into the fire right away. And that's something I've talked about for a couple of years. I mean, the amount of quarterbacks that has worked out for and franchises that has worked out for is very, very few. Where they draft this 20-year-old out of college and they say, all right, young man, here's the keys to the franchise. Good luck. You're the number one overall pick. You're the number three overall pick. We're putting everything we have, the billions of dollars that ride on right. this franchise, they're on your shoulders.
Troy,
and there's no help. Good luck.
Troy Aikman at Dallas comes to mind. Peyton Manning at Indianapolis comes to mind. I'm going to have to dig deep to think of a few others.
I mean, Cam Newton was in that boat.
Cam Newton.
He was the number one pick and got put into a horrible spot in Carolina.
And definitely rose up to the expectation.
And they helped him out along the way.
Maybe Matt Ryan at the Falcons. But I'll say this, that I think it was a little bit easier a few years back, 10, 15 years ago. The trend now is these guys get thrown right in the fire and they just fail. They just wail. I mean, they just struggle. They lose their confidence. Next thing you know, they're a backup over in Pittsburgh or Washington.
Well, look at the number one pick in the draft last night, Caleb Williams, and where he went. He went to Chicago. You remember who they drafted? Justin Fields out of Ohio State, and it didn't do anything.
I mean, and before that, Mitchell Trubisky from North Carolina, Drake May is going to be not the same way, and Sam Hartman won't be the same way. I mean, you know, you're taking a massive risk taking a quarterback that high in the NFL for a lot of reasons. It's going to be extremely expensive. The quarterback's the sexiest position in football. They garner the most money. The expectations are absolutely through the roof for a kid drafted that high. And then the fans, you know what's going to happen in Atlanta the moment that Kirk Cousins has one bad game?
Bring him in.
And it's going to create massive locker room problems. I feel like it probably already has.
Because
how do you go explain to Kirk Cousins, hey, by the way, the whole time we were trying to get you to Atlanta, we were looking at somebody else to be the future of the franchise?
Kirk Cousins claimed he did not know until seconds before the draft pick was made. He did not know they were picking Michael Penix
Jr. And I believe him. Why would he lie?
I believe him, too. And here's the thing also, before we get to break, the video that started circling around social media, don't know if you saw this,
I've seen it.
The Falcons GM and the owner in the back, the GM was having to really explain to himself and really kind of defend himself to the owner on why they were picking Michael Penix Jr. and why that pick was made. That video sort of tells it all. Now, whether that was the actual conversation, obviously we didn't have microphones, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out what the emotions were about.
You can Google a lot of pointing in that. A lot of pointing between the two. And
it was a one-sided conversation, let me tell you that.
One of them was pointing at the other one saying, I'm the owner of this team, what are you doing, is what he was saying. You can see any of these articles. Here's one from the Post. And these are the type of headlines you're talking about. Animated conversation between Falcons GM Terry Fontenot and owner goes viral. My first question to Arthur Blank is, where did you get that hideous jacket you're wearing, buddy? Because take it back.
Take it back.
You're a $7 billionaire over. You can dress better than looking like a circus clown in the Joker from the movie Batman.
Which Batman?
You know, whichever one you want to talk about, the Jack Nicholson one.
There you go.
And I just do not understand this move. I got to ask, too. I mean, I know the GM should be doing his job at every NFL franchise not named the Dallas Cowboys. Did Arthur Blank have no idea either that this was about to happen?
Oh, we'll talk some more about it when we come back. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. Phone lines are open all show long on a free-for-all Friday. 334-321-1390. Back after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We're talking all things NFL draft here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the biggest story going on right now in sports, and I'm so glad that we've got three guys in the studio right now that are talking NFL draft. I'm Jacob Goins. He's Uncle T-Bone. Intern Allen with us on his final day talking a little NFL draft as well. And look, Uncle T-Bone, I'll give you your flowers, and I'll let you kind of show off a little bit. Oh, you were right. You were right about one guy in particular, about where he was going to go, what he was going to do, and the potential in a guy that you said to pay attention for. Talk about a lead pipe lock to be a first-round pick. Go for it, man. I'll let you take the floor.
You know, outside of quarterback, running backs, obviously, and wide receivers, I think, have that are drafted in the first round have the absolute best ability to make instant impacts for teams, right? I mean, because it's just so, you know, there's only one quarterback. You put four receivers in a tailback on the field all at once and everybody go out. So you get some help, right? And especially for a kid like Xavier Worthy. We talked about him on Wednesday. I said he was the most underrated player, possible first-round pick that was out there, that he would go later in the first round and there would be a team that would be thrilled to get him and it would be a perfect fit. I did not know it would be this perfect. At pick number 28, the Chiefs, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas. We went through his stats and everything he'd done. He's the closest guy. He played at a system in Texas under Steve Sarkisian. That's the closest thing that you're going to see to an NFL system in college football. Steve Sarkisian could easily be an NFL coach one day, and it could be soon if he wanted to be, in my opinion. The guy is one of the best offensive minds, not just in college football, but in football. And he lit it up at Texas, and that's why they got to the college football playoffs. Xavier Worthy was an extremely important part to that as a wide receiver. He tore Alabama up in that second game. And last year in Austin, Texas, that's when I really took notice of him. And he's just flat out speed kills. And he's going to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you're going to be playing for probably one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game.
Yep.
For one of the best coaches in the history of the game.
Yep.
It is a straight up professional franchise, first in class franchise.
Yep.
Some of the most loyal fans in the game. You got all these savvy veterans all around you that have won multiple Super Bowls. They do it right in Kansas City. There's not a better place that a kid like Xavier Worthy could have landed. So congratulations to him, and congratulations to Uncle T for going Mel Kiper Jr.
Right.
Here at ESPN 106.7.
All right, you did it. You did it. I will say this. You talk about a speedster with Worthy. He ran the fastest 40-yard dash at the Combine since 2003, a 4.21.
Coming off injury.
Which is just a little bit faster than you'd run at Uncle T-Bone.
A little bit faster.
I mean, you talk about a system.
I can't throw a wiffle ball that fast.
Hey, some of our listeners say they can throw a wiffle ball a little bit, so we'll have to test that out one day.
Yeah.
But no, man, you talk about a guy that's going to a perfect franchise. And it's not often that you see this, where a team makes a pick and it's like, man, that guy just fits that system to a T. Because a lot of times, other teams won't let them get to that point. But the Chiefs did it once again. NFL champs numerous times here in our recent years. And Xavier Worthy from Texas going to play in Kansas City.
He wasn't the first wide receiver taken in the draft. And going back earlier into the draft at number six, the Giants taking Malik Nabers out of LSU and everyone going, just crazy over this pick, and you heard my thoughts about him Wednesday. I've noticed that this kid kind of disappears in big moments. I think Xavier Worthy's just as good as Malik Nabers, if not better.
I think Brian Thomas, the LSU receiver that went to Jacksonville, is a steal for Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I really like that kid.
He was on the other side of Malik Nabers. He's a little bit bigger, more of a traditional route runner, possession receiver, but he can flat out ball. I was really shocked that the Giants didn't go ahead and take a quarterback from all the talk. It seems like they're going to roll with Daniel Jones, who's good. Okay, very injury prone, and quite hasn't lived up to. He's one of those quarterbacks taken in the first round that quite hasn't lived up to the expectations. But the Giants are going to give him one more shot. I think he can get it done, and that's a good pick to get a receiver there. I just don't know if I'd have taken Malik Nabers at six.
If the Giants were to have taken a quarterback, there were three that went after the Giants pick: Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons, J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, and Bo Nix to the Denver Broncos. We got to talk about that when we come back as well. Spectre, you'll be first up as well following the break. Give us a call. Free for all Friday, 334-321-1390. It continues after this.
Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Let's get to the phone lines. This guy's been holding on through the break. We appreciate him doing that. 334-321-1390. Spectre, what's up, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you guys. Hey, two subject matters I want to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, let me get the Atlanta situation out of the way. I don't think for a minute that the owner didn't know what the GM was doing. And they're doing it for a reason. Of course, there's a backstory there we're not privy to. So he's doing it because, well, it could be insurance. It could be a trade, you know, coming down the line or whatever. But it's better to get him than to let him go somewhere else.
Well, that kind of goes with the argument that I've talked about a lot, Spectre, especially in the first round of the NFL draft. I've always said if you get to that point, you're supposed to take the best player available no matter what you need. Quarterback's a little bit different, and I think Atlanta definitely could have used something other than a quarterback. It's just because they just signed Kirk Cousins to a $180 million deal.
Yeah. Like I said, I have no idea what's going on. I'm just saying – I don't believe the owner didn't know what the GM was doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so, anyway, talk about Bo Nix.
Go for it.
All right. He went to Denver. Now, do you realize Jarrett Stidham is there?
I do. Yep. The Denver Bronco
all
himself.
Right. And he got the start last year over who was it, Rivers?
It was Wilson. Yeah, Russell Wilson.
No. Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it was Wilson, yeah. Well, think back, you know, when Wilson was deciding to go to college, I think Auburn was one of his schools.
They were before he went to Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, that's just kind of like ironic, this Auburn connection at Denver. But anyway, I think Bo Nix is there to take the reins.
I think you very well could.
Yeah, I agree with you there. No question about it. It was blatantly obvious that Bo Nix was Sean Payton's dude at quarterback when they showed them. I mean, they were beyond ecstatic to get him there at 12. And instantaneously, Bo Nix, you know, he's not the biggest quarterback, pretty athletic, obviously. And the comparisons will be between he and Sean Payton, their relationship, like Sean Payton and Drew Brees, hopefully, yeah, for the Broncos fans out there. I don't know about the pick, Spectre. I mean, I think it was a little high, but the fact that Atlanta did what they did kind of set a fuse on everybody moving up to get their guy at quarterback.
Yeah, I understand that. Let me ask y'all something. Have you heard anything? Is Tez Johnson in the draft, or is his name in there? Tez Johnson was a receiver at Oregon.
I think so. I don't know off the top of my head. I'll be really honest with you. I don't know off the top of my head.
Spectre, I have not seen him in any mock drafts in the second round moving forward. And there's a bunch of receivers that have been that are early on in that second round looking to get snagged up.
I was wondering if Denver was going to pick him up because that's Bo Nix's adopted brother.
Yeah, and just doing a quick Google search here as I talk to you. According to Sports Illustrated, 2 days ago, Tez Johnson wants to, quote, join the same team as Bo Nix. So maybe if he doesn't get drafted, the Broncos there may go after him as an undrafted free agent.
There you go. Well, anyway, that's all I got right now.
All right, appreciate it, Spectre. Great to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. And I don't want to go super deep on this because I don't think there's as big of a storyline as some people will make here. But
right.
I'll say this. I'm happy for Bo Nix. I am. I'm happy for Bo. I think he's a good guy. He's a good kid. I was telling you during the break, him and I, this will show you how old, young, whatever you want to say that I am, I was in school the same time he was. Him and I took classes together at Auburn. And he's a good dude. And he gave everything he had for Auburn. He graduated from here. He completed a dream. He wanted to play college football and be the starting quarterback at Auburn. And he did it. And then he went on and played somewhere else, which was best for him, obviously. And he went and now he's a top 15 draft pick. And I'm with Spector. He's going to walk in and compete for the starting job in Denver because it's him, Jarrett Stidham, and Zach Wilson. Okay. Like, he should be the starter. Him or Jarrett Stidham will probably be the starting quarterback in Denver, Colorado. That's exciting. Auburn should be happy for that. And I'm cheering Bo Nix on. And I know some fans will, some fans won't from Auburn. And you know what? It is what it is at this point. That was a long time ago now. But I'm happy for Bo Nix, man. Good for him.
You know, Bo Nix hasn't been on Auburn's campus in over two football seasons. Kevin Skarbinski, everyone's favorite writer out of Birmingham, tweeted last night, serious question, should Auburn count Bo Nix as a first-round pick, even though he played his last two seasons at Oregon? No.
No.
They should not. And a lot of hullabaloo with Kevin last night and taking some shots at Auburn with, these tweets, and we'll get to those in a little while. I alluded to it when we opened up the show, Kevin Skarbinski gone wild on Twitter. Don't really understand several of these tweets he had attacking Auburn because of the NFL draft, but whatever, man. Do what you got to do up there in Birmingham to get clicks. Bo Nix is a good dude. You know, there were times where I was frustrated with him. There were times where plenty of Auburn fans were frustrated with his performances. He didn't have hardly anything to work with while he was here. I mean, he was the entire offense. And not to mention, he had to play under Brian Harsin, who was horrible. And that was a dysfunctional marriage from the very beginning. Had Auburn not had Alan Green and Stephen Leith making terrible decisions for its athletic programs and probably for the university as a whole while they were here, had they not had those two, And Malzahn had left when he did after the 2020 season, and we gone ahead and hired Hugh Freeze like they could have, Bo Nix would have finished his career at Auburn and been one of the best quarterbacks that Auburn's ever had.
And statistically, he still is. Like, some of the things he did at Auburn were some of the best we've ever seen at the quarterback spot here on the Plains. And here's something else about Bo Nix, too. His entire time, every single season that he was here, that he was playing all 3 years, he played for three different offensive coordinators before he transferred and played his final 2 years at Oregon. Do you know how tough that is to be a college quarterback as talented but as raw as Bo Nix was and to have a different offensive coordinator every single year? That's tough. That's insanely difficult.
That's awful.
He went to Oregon with the same coach, same coordinator, and he was sitting in New York this season waiting for a Heisman Trophy, and now he's a top 15 draft pick. That shows you the difference of what Oregon did compared to how Auburn treated him.
Yeah, and there's so much turnover over the last 4 years, really, over in that football program at Auburn, that it's hard for – I can't even remember who the first two offensive coordinators were that Bo Nix had. I remember Mike Bobo being the last under Brian Harsin, and Bobo obviously a little bit better coordinator than Harsin allowed him to be, interfering with that offense. You saw what he could do last year at Georgia, although they had way better weapons than Auburn did. I don't even remember who those other two offensive coordinators were. It's just such a blur of a time. I can't imagine for a fan like me who follows this stuff day to day and how depressing it was. I can't imagine what that's like for a competitor like Bo Nix.
Yeah, those first two coordinators, Uncle T, was Kenny Dillingham. He's now the head coach.
About that little guy.
He's now the head coach at Arizona State. And then in 2020, we hired Chad Morris to call plays. And
Chad Morris. Goodness gracious. Brutal.
Chad Morris.
So there you go. Woo.
So he had Dilly, who was one of like the dwarves in the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. He was like 12 up there. I mean, when they hired him, that kid was like 26. I mean, Alan?
He was 26 going on about 15.
Yeah. Although now I think he is the head coach at Arizona State. So, I mean, it just goes to show what is happening with the turnover in college football coaching in today's world. You don't have to really work your way up like you used to have. I mean, these coordinators would spend years upon years trudging through these, you know, iconic head coaches finally to get their shot. And this kid's like, he just hit puberty and he's the head coach at Arizona State.
And I think he's got a chance to be good. good, and we'll see what happens there.
But he was certainly better than Chad Morris.
Yeah, you're right about that. And so with Bo Nix, you made this comparison earlier, and it's not the first time I've heard it, and I think it's true. He does have that very Drew Brees-esque type of capability. He's not the biggest. He's not the smallest. He's a little bit bigger than Drew Brees was, and it's crazy that Drew Brees was as good as he was with the size that he had. But Bo Nix has that type of build. He's accurate. He can get away with his legs if he has to, and he's going to make a play. And he got better through his college career with not turning it over, not throwing an interception, not getting sacked, all those types of things. He's got the mobility, and he's just got that in him. And I think Bo Nix has a chance to be a really good player in the NFL. So shout out to him and congratulations to Bo Nix, number 12 overall pick to the Denver Broncos. What else stood out to you in the NFL draft?
Well, moving right along, speaking of quarterbacks, my man J.J. McCarthy taken at 10 by the Minnesota Vikings.
Snore.
You heard me say earlier on Wednesday that I was not very impressed with him. I did get a little pushback from some local NFL analyst at Baumhauer's last night during the draft party who
were
really big on him. But I think at 10, I would never take a J.J. McCarthy. But I will say this. I have looked into this pick a little bit more today. He couldn't have fallen, I don't think, to a better situation because they've got some offensive weapons in Minnesota. I forgot that Aaron Jones signed with them too, mm-hmm. and he's a player.
I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be going across divisional rivals like that. Of course, with Justin Jefferson at wide receiver, they got the big tight end now, TJ Hockenson. So McCarthy will be in a better situation, in my opinion, than, say, taking it to Jaden Daniels, who I think is a better quarterback and one of these guys that in just about any situation out of the top six taking that I would bet to have the best career out of everybody, except he went to Washington, which has just been a you-know-what show for years now.
Yeah, it has. And speaking of the Vikings, they had J.J. McCarthy at 10, then they turned around seven picks later and took Dallas Turner on the defensive side. I mean, all things considered, they did pretty well in the first round.
Good for them. They obviously wanted McCarthy in some mock drafts. They even had them trading up to the Giants to 6 to get him. Instead, the Giants held onto that pick and took Malik Nabers. I believe they traded back up to get to Dallas Turner. That was a run of three defensive players. It's very rare in the first round of any NFL drafts. I thought Turner was a little bit better prospect than Latu, who went before him off the edge to the Colts at 15. But 16 right there, oh my gosh, the Seahawks got a steal at defensive tackle. They continue to draft these. They're almost like the Ravens of the NFC with their defense and the talent that they load up. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle at Texas, a complete freak show beast. You saw him, Alabama fans, up close and personal a lot on TV this past year in the second game of the year when you hosted Texas in Bryant-Denny Stadium. And this guy's a player right here, Jacob.
Some big names in day two that were not taken in day one of the NFL draft, round one of the NFL draft. Texas wide receiver A.D. Mitchell, Alabama cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry. What, Georgia wide receiver?
He fell.
Yeah, he did.
He fell hard.
He fell really hard. And I'll be honest, I'm not surprised.
You know, I think there was a lot of hype around him coming out of high school that he was going to be one of these next fantastic, I mean, just can't be beat defensive backs at DBU up there in Tuscaloosa. I'm not saying he didn't live up to expectation, but he wasn't quite as impressive as at Alabama as I thought he would be.
I don't think he lived up to expectations. I think it's fair to say that. He was still really good, but he was not the legend that they thought he was going to be. I think he gave up too many big plays. I think he had too many he was on the wrong side of some big highlight plays. And I think some NFL teams have understood that. It's a little bit of a risk, probably high risk, high reward type of thing with Kool-Aid McKinstry, and he did. He fell a little hard, so I'm sure he'll hear his name caught early here on day two. But yeah, A.D. Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry. How about Ladd McConkey from Georgia? Still on there as well.
Keon Coleman from Florida State. That's a player to keep an eye on. You catch him in the second round, you've caught yourself a steal. That guy really did well down at Florida State. Not a lot of quarterbacks in the second round projected like in the first round, and there's some pretty big names still out there. Sam Hartman, Evan Milton from Tennessee, who everyone thought was just going to be outstanding this year. He's fallen deep down off these charts. Michael Pratt from Tulane. You're a big Michael Pratt fan, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a player. So there's still plenty of quarterbacks out there, but in the second round, it looks like everyone – that's when people start kind of pivoting towards – they'll get the best of the rest of the wide receivers out of there in this second round, but they'll start pivoting till building up their defensive draft.
Your Dallas Cowboys took the Packers route. They drafted an offensive lineman, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. How do you feel about that?
You know, I don't know much about the kid, to be honest with you, but when in doubt – take a big offensive lineman. They usually pan out just about better than any other position in the NFL draft.
They're cheaper than the other ones, too.
And they are. And I'll say this about it. Maybe it's a little bit more finely mature draft from the Cowboys, because oftentimes it seems like Jerry Jones is trying to make a big splash with big names. Sometimes they hit like Micah Parsons, and sometimes they don't.
Man, did you see the press conference video of him last night?
I did not.
Oh, goodness. Oh, did you see this intern? It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. We'll leave it at that. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Looks like the phones are lighting up. We'll get to them as well. Wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines once again here in hour number one, 334-321-1390. Dak, you're on the line, man. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday. Beautiful day today, isn't it?
Of course. It's always beautiful on Friday.
Oh, so much to talk about, man. Did the Falcons blow it or what?
They blew it.
They blew it. That's the easy way to say it.
You know, and he might end up being really good there, because I don't want to sell this kid short by any means, and I have – nothing personally against him, but it's just such an odd pick when they had so many other needs and had just signed Kirk Cousins. I mean, it's just all there is to it.
Right. Can you believe they passed on Bowers having Kirk Cousins coming in as quarterback? I just knew that's what they were going to do.
Yeah. That would have been a fantastic pick for them, although they do have Kyle Pitts, who quite hasn't lived up to the billing there. But could you imagine having an offense with both of them in there? And many NFL teams now run multiple tight end sets, not just to run block, but to move the ball down the field vertically.
Oh, my goodness. What a weapon to have for Cousins, man. That would have been perfect for him.
It would have, and I still really can't believe it, and pretty much the entire NFL and football world is still kind of scratching their heads here on Friday afternoon.
Right, and after listening to people all day today, what I didn't think about till hearing somebody say this, the new coach for the Falcons won't never be there to see him if he does become quarterback one day.
Well, one thing that I did see about this is if – Cousins stays 2 years, I believe, and the Falcons cut him after 2 years, they'll save something like $35 to $40 million on their salary cap. So that might be their play here, that they may guarantee that money to Kirk Cousins, but counting against their salary cap, if they get rid of him after 2 years, that might be the perfect time to bring in Penix. But my thoughts are, in 2 years, there's going to be another hot shot quarterback come along that you can take your chances on. While you're waiting those 2 years, or maybe four with Kirk Cousins, start building the rest of your roster up.
Right, and then you throw in the fact that he's left-handed.
Yeah.
And that he's had all these injuries.
He has had injuries, and he is left-handed.
I mean, it just don't make sense at all, and especially, let's say they don't pick Bowers. Their need is on the defensive side of the ball.
Desperately.
Speed rusher or a corner. And, I mean, and I know they still got the second round. They can find somebody, but I just couldn't believe they passed on Bowers with him sitting there.
Yeah, man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in Atlanta sports radio today.
Definitely. And then
not me. The best thing ever to come out of Atlanta is I-85 South.
That's right. What do you think about all the negative comments that they've said about Bo and going to Denver?
I mean, I don't know if you were able to catch it. We actually talked a little bit about Bo here in this first hour, and
no, I missed it all.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it, and man, I'm happy for Bo, and the comparison I continue to hear is Drew Brees, which is, I think, a really good comparison. He landed in a good spot in Denver. He has a chance to be the starter day one, and he's just gotten better as his years have gone on, and so I'm happy for him. I think he's going to have a really good shot.
Well, look, this morning, Chris Canty, just dogging him, and was talking about he's just another RPO quarterback, and I'm thinking, okay, which of these quarterbacks are not, except for McCarthy, which one is not?
Right.
They all are.
Right. Yeah. In case I missed it, I see a lot of RPO being run in the NFL. It's not quite the Nick Marshall type RPO, but it is RPO.
Right. That's right. And the thing about it that I would love to say to him is, out of all the quarterbacks, which one has seen the toughest defenses out of his career?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's not a question. I mean, think about Bo Nix has seen six times Georgia and Alabama.
I mean, Bo has done it time and time again, Dak. You know that. And again, you're a football guy, so you can break it down. Hey, man, we're up against our break. Happy Friday to you, brother. That's Dak joining us on the phone lines. He calls in a ton, and he's right, man. Bo Nix is battle-tested. There ain't no doubt about that.
Well, I mean, I don't know, out of all the guys who got drafted, the six quarterbacks in the first round, if any of them landed with the best coach that they could have other than Bo Nix.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Sean Payton's done it a couple of times with Drew Brees in particular. So don't forget about that. Hour number one in the books. We'll talk more Auburn news coming up in hour number two. We got some basketball things to talk about. Maybe some updates for Auburn High School as well. Jack Cutton on the road. We'll hear from him as well. All that coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour, you can go and listen to the podcast later on today. You'll find it one of two ways, ESPNAU.com, or you can just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. A lot of NFL draft talk in hour number one. Uncle T-Bone with the first round happening last night. Second round is, I believe it's going to be underway tonight, and you've got multiple rounds in day two.
Rounds two and three tomorrow.
Yep, two and three tonight, then the rest of them tomorrow. Of course, you can catch all of that right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll begin at 6 p.m. tonight here, and then 11 a.m. tomorrow right here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. So you can catch that if you want to. That'll be here on ESPN. Talked a lot about that in the first hour, about the Falcons making a joke of themselves, talking quarterbacks, talking our teams, talking Bo Nix. So many things to talk about. Brock Bowers as well. I mean, just so many things from hour number one. Here in hour number two, got a lot of Auburn updates we need to talk about. Auburn basketball seeking to get another transfer portal addition. A really good player that we need to talk about. Some Auburn football things. And want to get to the phone lines because we have high school sports are in full swing right now, and it is postseason time. Last night, Christian Griffin and I were over at Lee Scott Academy, and for the quarterfinals for Lee Scott baseball, they got underway, got a series sweep over Monroe, and so we will be heading up to or down to Clark Prep next Wednesday for the state semifinals in the final year of AISA baseball for Lee Scott Academy. So that's exciting. Also, Auburn High School baseball and softball, both in the postseason, and I'll let this guy tell you more about it because he's been a part of it all season long. Jack Hutton joining us on the road, heading down to Enterprise. What's up, Jumpin' Jack Hutton? How are you, man?
What's up, baby? I had to call in and get my Friday dose. I had to get a bite of T-Bone today.
Yeah, he's here, and he's they say he's alive and well is what they're saying.
I see. Well, it's better than being alive and not well, I guess.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're on the road and heading down to Enterprise for Auburn High School baseball. We'll have a best-of-three series. They'll play games one and two tonight, if game tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, that's right. You got games one and two tonight. That starts at 5 o'clock.
I'm heading down there right now. I'm in roughly in Troy, Alabama, home of the Trojans. So headed down to Enterprise right now. We'll do those two games tonight. And then tomorrow, if those two teams split tonight, it'll actually be going to have Christian Griffin coming by, helps out with Lee Scott. You hear him some on the Auburn Sports Network. He'll be here for game three tomorrow, if that's necessary, because I've got a date with the Auburn High softball team tomorrow, headed up to Phoenix City for Central. They've got to go through area tournament play tomorrow. And so it is a busy, busy weekend on the Auburn High School Sports Network.
Yes, and for Auburn High School Sports Network, that can all be found on 96.3 W Lee. You can catch that tonight. Game 1 and 2 for Auburn High Baseball is on 96.3 W Lee. 5 p.m. first pitch. Go on the air about 5:50 or so. And then tomorrow, yeah, the area tournament. Softball does it a little bit different than baseball, right, Jack? Where softball, they do the area tournament, then they get into state playoffs, and where baseball, they're already in state playoffs.
Yeah, that's correct, and there's some give and take as to which way is better to do it. I do know personally, I think that the easier way to do it is just go through your entire regular season and get your 1 and 2 and don't really mess with the tournament because, you know, you're usually going to get those same teams coming out either way. And it doesn't really make much sense to me to go an entire regular season just for seeding four teams to where it basically comes down to a two-game season of if you win one of these games, you're getting into the playoff because you get that two-speed.
Right.
And maybe you get obliterated at the championship game. So I kind of like how baseball does it, and I think softball would definitely like to go that way, but I don't think that that's going to be obviously, that's not going to happen this year, and I don't know what would need to happen for that, but that is where you start with baseball. You got the area regular season. That was Auburn and Central finished 2-1, respectively. Central actually won that on the last day of the regular season. But in the area tournament, you know, you can – if Auburn gets upset once or twice this weekend, and even if they were to win the first game, lose the second one to who's likely going to be Central – and then get upset in game three, their season's done after a single-digit loss regular season. So I kind of like doing the regular season model better.
It just doesn't make sense. I'm with you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to say, okay, let's play this two-and-a-half-month regular season, and then it comes down to this Saturday-Monday games. I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then a lot of times you get down to that championship game, and the championship – game is to play for the championship, but both of those teams are moving on regardless, so then there's not a whole lot to really play for.
Right. I mean, then you're just playing for pride, and a lot of times, you know, it'll be a rival of yours in area, and so, you know, I guess there's that, and you can call yourself area champions, but once you get to that championship game, you know, I know a coach would love to win a championship, but you're already starting to think about regional matchups. You're starting to think about what you're going to do in that tournament, which is a week later, and so I really do like the baseball model, and I like going these three-game sets against predetermined opponents from different areas. You know, have the matchups already set to where once you come out of the regular season, you know this two-seed is playing this one-seed from these areas, that one-seed's playing this two-seed from another. You know, it makes more sense to me to be able to do it that way.
Jack Hutton joining us from the Auburn High Sports Network on the road, heading down to Enterprise to call Auburn High School baseball, taking on Enterprise in round one of the playoffs. Win or go home now for Coach Simo and the Tigers. And this is a big postseason for this Auburn High baseball program, as the news came out, I guess, a little bit over a week or so ago, as head coach Matt Simo, Hall of Famer head coach Matt Simo, in his final year with the Auburn High School Tigers.
Yeah, and if you don't know Coach Matt Simo, he's very famous for the phrase, it's a great day for baseball. And I think that really encapsulates what his outlook on life is. I mean, it's always a great day to go and do something, no matter what the weather is outside, no matter what you're feeling. It's always a great day to get out and, you know, and even enjoy a game of baseball or just get better in your own right. So I think he's been a really instrumental coach to a lot of athletes that have come in underneath him. But this is 32nd and final year, and so Auburn would would love to cap his career off with a deep run in the playoffs and possibly a look at a state championship here. And that all starts tonight. You know, their Tigers are going to probably throw some of their guys. Kate Etheridge, Killian Blackman are going to be names that you'll hear on the mound. You'll probably get maybe a Seth Payne out there, a Tanner Waldrop. I mean, these are all names that you're going to hear a lot of throughout the broadcast if you tune in tonight. Another guy that you really need to pay attention to, Henry Allen, if you don't know that name. Quarterback, the football team this year, in a pinch, you had the starting quarterback go down for Auburn High, and Auburn turned to the Mississippi State commit, Henry Allen, and said, hey, big-time athlete, we need you to step in and fill in some shoes. And he did a really admirable job. He's back to his regular sport now, and, boy, he's even better at that. I mean, he's almost a 400 hitter, leads the team in home runs, leads the team in extra base hits. He's going to be a guy that Auburn's got to have come through a couple times if they want to get out of Enterprise with the win. You know, I think Auburn's got a really good shot. It's just going to be about getting the work out of the pitchers that they need. I think Killian Blackman has been good all year. Peyton Etheridge has really come on strong for the Tigers, but he's had a couple of starts that have ballooned the ERA a tad. And so while the numbers aren't going to look great, he had a couple of weeks ago, he went 6 innings, 11 strikeouts against Smith Station. So there's a lot of talent in this lineup. It's just got to come together in the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be difficult for Auburn, no doubt about it, taking on a good Enterprise team, but it's never easy to travel 2+ hours on a Friday and go down and try to get a win in back-to-back games. It's a best-of-three series. Auburn High School baseball taking on Enterprise tonight, and then Auburn High School softball in Phoenix City tomorrow for the area tournament. Jack, tell them all where they can find it and how they can tune into you tonight.
We'll be on W. Lee 96.3. Turn it over there. About 4:50 or so, we'll get things started on the pregame show. Going to try and get as many interviews or different things that we can between games, but I think we're going to just save all that for after game two. And so there's a chance that Auburn could win this thing outright tonight, and there's no game three tomorrow. They have to win both games. Much more likely scenario would probably be a split, obviously, just playing percentages, and then you would get game three tomorrow. But, look, there's a chance that Auburn wins this outright tonight, and we've got some celebrating to do later. So gear up for that, and then tune it in tomorrow for Auburn High School softball. That'll be same time or same place on WLE 96.3. That'll start at 11 a.m. Tigers trying to win two games there and get into the regional tournament.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, we appreciate you calling in and joining us on the show. Be safe traveling down and back to Enterprise and bring home a couple of wins for the Baby Tigers.
Man, I'll do it. And I also just want to say another big congrats to intern Allen, who's graduating, you know, this week. We've really enjoyed having him. I've enjoyed having him as a board op. He's been very good every time I've had him on a game with me, and I appreciate everything he's done.
Jack, I appreciate the kind words, and yeah, there's no one else I'd rather produce a broadcast for than Jumpin' Jack Hutton.
Man, I appreciate that. All right, guys. Well, I will.
All right, appreciate the call, Jack. Always great to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are back open. So, yeah, if you're looking for something to listen to tonight over the weekend, if you're driving around outside in the yard or in the barn, whatever you got to do, turn on 96.3 WLEE. That's 963WLEE.com for the Auburn High Sports Network. Jack Gunn on the road heading down to Enterprise. We'll take an early break here in hour number two. Come back. We got some Auburn basketball news we need to talk about, plus whatever's on your mind on a free-for-all Friday. 334-321-1390. 1390. First break coming up now.
On the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio at ESPN 106.7, and I've just rocked Uncle T-Bone's world, not in a good way, and I've shocked him, really. I mean, he's just in disbelief right now. Tell the folks why you're mad at me.
Jacob's never seen the movie Old School.
I don't think I have.
With Will Ferrell?
I don't think so. And I love Will
Intern
Ferrell.
Intern Allen, have you seen it?
I believe I'm going to be in the same category as Jacob.
Oh, no. My God. Y'all probably never even seen the movie Fletch either, have you?
I have seen Fletch. I have seen Fletch.
Okay.
I've never seen Old School. And I love Will Ferrell.
Old School is probably the funniest movie, perhaps, of all. Yeah, I know you've never seen Office Space either, have you?
Mm-mm.
Intern Allen? What in the world is wrong with y'all? I want y'all to go home right after this show and watch Old School and Office Space back to back. Call me in the morning.
just
change your life.
Just based off first impressions, just looking at this looks like a loaded cast for Old School.
So. It is a loaded cast. It's one of the best. It is legitimately one of the funniest movies you'll ever watch.
Well, I'm about to look up where you can find it.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. You made a reference to it, and you looked at us like we were crazy. So,
speaking of Old School, did y'all see Nick Saban admit to tampering last night on national television?
What's Old School
first
about
day on
that?
The job.
Well, he's old school. Yeah. Isn't that the reason why he left college football? Is because of he's so old school, and these old school coaches don't like the NFL, the NIL and the transfer portal. And then he comes out. On national television last night and basically admits to openly tampering with Quinyon Mitchell, a cornerback from Toledo, who was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles last night. He was our number one guy in the portal last year to try to get him to come out of the portal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he never was in the portal, and we tried to get him to go in the portal. He was our number one guy that we wanted.
Yeah,
but I don't like it. I don't like we don't tamper.
Here's the quote. He says, he was our number one guy in the portal last year to try to get him to come out of the portal, and he would never get in the portal, Saban said on the broadcast. That's the quote he used.
I mean, when we say that everyone is tampering in college football,
they all do
it. Tampering
every single
football.
Person. I mean, it's unbelievable. Right. And there's nothing wrong with him saying that's who they wanted and that was their number one guy, but to willingly and openly state that you were targeting him and you were trying, the word he used was trying to get him to come out and come to Alabama,
right?
But he wouldn't do it.
On
because he wasn't in the portal.
Last April or May, I believe it was, safety Jalen Key from UAB transferred to Alabama over Florida. And then in June on CBSSports.com, I'd forgot about this, head coach Trent Dilfer, the head football coach at UAB, sends a stern message to coaches who may try to poach UAB players.
I forgot about
this. I'm going to call your bleep out. And that was like a month after Jalen Key went to Alabama. No, they don't do any tampering up there in Tuscaloosa.
Well, here's my thing is for a guy like Trent Dilfer, who was obviously trying to play by the rules and trying to follow the guidelines and the rules that were given to him by the NCAA. You know what? Those guys, unfortunately, those guys finish last. Those guys get left behind.
No question.
Because guess what? Winning doesn't hang around for the nice guy. Winning doesn't hang around for the rule followers. I'm sorry. That's in life if you want to take that motto too. There's a reason Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh are winning national championships, because they're getting the best players and they don't care how they get them, Uncle T-Bone. They'll do whatever it takes to win. That's what makes them great.
Look, whether,
I'm not saying I agree with it.
It's not. It's in every sport in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a big-time talent, you're going to look the other way at some stuff if it comes up. Okay, how you got them there to your school, perhaps something they did off the court, as in Brandon Miller at Alabama last year. I mean, he was their ticket to winning a national championship possibly in basketball. Really, really putting Nate Oates on the map as one of the best coaches in college basketball. And he may or may not have been very involved in someone dying from being shot on the strip up in Tuscaloosa. And that guy didn't sit a game. He didn't sit even one game. The other guy that was his teammate, he's still rotting in jail up there in Tuscaloosa a year and a half later. you know, still under capital murder charges, and he didn't even pull the trigger. He just took the gun that Brandon Miller brought down there to the scene and gave it to another dude who did the shooting, but he wasn't an NBA caliber player, so he's in trouble, and the guy Brandon Miller's in the NBA. Welcome to the big leagues, Trent Dilfer and other coaches who try and take the high road in college athletics. The high road in college athletics is going to make you get beat.
It is, and it's it sucks, is what it is.
I mean, Nick Saban just went on national television and blatantly admitted that they tampered while he was at Alabama.
Like Intern Allen said, first day on the job.
Do you think anybody at the NCAA is going to do one lick of a thing about it?
No.
Not
absolutely
happening.
Not.
And look.
Because the NCAA
knows.
And I really
don't care that he admitted it. I'm just glad he did because it backs up what we've been saying.
It's kind of funny.
All I've ever heard was Nick Saban doesn't have to cheat. Uncle T-Bone, he's the greatest of all time. The GOAT, he's the man. And he is. No doubt about it in college football. But he has to cheat. He just admitted to tampering.
It's, yeah.
They all tamper. Thank you for backing me up, Coach Nick Saban. Two for two, Xavier Worthy, and everybody's tampering. Uncle T-Bone's on fire here, picking winners, chicken dinners.
You're on one today on a Friday edition of the show. And that's really it. I mean, I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset about it.
I don't care.
Exactly. It is what it is at this point, and here's the problem. We've known about it, and it's not just Nick Saban in Alabama. It's every successful head football coach. Every coach has done it. They've all cheated.
If they're not doing it, they're ramping up to do it.
Yeah, they're getting ready to. You better believe it.
Do you think, I mean, Auburn Athletics is well over a $100 million industry. Football's the key driver for all of that revenue. And they're going to take part of that revenue to make it even better every year. What are they going to do? They're expand their staff. Look at these staffs now. It's just used to be the coaching staff and a few like graduate assistants on a football. Man, they got staffs of 35 people over there. Half the people probably working on, you know, their future draft, tampering draft boards of players they're identifying who to contact and how we're going to get them in the portal and how we're going to get them here. Fact.
If you think college football or college athletics are clean, then man, sit back and listen, because I have hours of things I could talk to you about. And this is where we get into the conversation of the integrity of college sports going away, because it was there at one time, and you could probably speak to this
sort
a little
of.
Bit more than I could, Uncle T-Bone.
I don't know. I think it's been dirty my entire life.
Well, see, I've said that about college basketball. My 24 years alive, college basketball has been nasty. And the 2000s and the teens were disgusting in college basketball, man. Like, it was bad. It got written. And then the FBI stepped in, and that's when things really kind of cleaned up a little bit. Not by much, but a little bit. They came in and slapped some wrist there, and some people got in some serious trouble, but it's back to where it was. I mean, look at college basketball, man. Now.
Well, you know, the I hate to say this and break the news to everybody, but the NIL might be what ultimately cleans up college athletics about as much as you can, because now it's just all above board.
Yeah, at least brings it to the surface.
But you're telling me there's still not people delivering little McDonald's bags full of cash to possible players on the side also still to this day. But come on, man.
Well, man, now it's starting to trickle down into high school sports.
Yeah, it's,
and not even starting, it has trickled down to high school sports. I mean, you've got kids moving from Hawaii and California and Alaska to come play high school football in Birmingham, Alabama. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure if I lived in Hawaii that I would really like to move my entire family across half of the continental U.S. and then some to Alabaster, Alabama. Okay.
It's just, and you've got, I mean, high schools are recruiting now, man, and they're just all of a sudden popping up a new neighborhood outside Birmingham Metro for, and I'm not talking just Alabama. Like, this is for the state of Alabama and high school football with some of the biggest programs in the state. They're doing this.
I mean, it's always been one of those things, like, for example, like Central Phoenix City. I know there's always been a tremendous, and this is just a theory of mine, there's always been a lot of tremendous talent come out of there. But, you know, they always kind of had like Smiths and Russell County and Columbus right there. You know, maybe we cherry pick a few players from here or there in all sports, including basketball and football. Maybe, just maybe, some of these kids all weren't born inside and raised in the city of Phoenix City.
They didn't grow up dreaming to be a Red Devil?
Maybe so. I don't know. I do know that there were some guys that played Auburn High basketball a long time ago, and that one of them, I believe, was from Jamaica.
Wow.
And he played at the University of Georgia and almost won us a state championship in basketball in the 80s. So, you know, I guess their family just wanted to move to Auburn.
Auburn's a great place.
Hey, it's a growing town.
One of the fastest growing cities in the state.
Well, I'm with you, man. I mean, it's
where sports are, man.
Let's just go ahead and this is something that I just think that the media drives to. It's almost like this dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about, that basically everybody in college athletics and big time revenue producing sports are cheating.
In some way, I mean, they're looking for, and if you don't want to label it as cheating to keep it clean, that's fine. But everybody's looking for an advantage. Everybody's looking for a one-up on somebody else, and they'll do whatever it takes to do it because there's so much money and there's so much at stake, and people just want to win that bad. And that's what it comes down to. And the problem is, like we said earlier, if you don't have people willing to do that, you get left behind. Those people get fired, the program gets left behind, and then you're caught playing catch-up.
Yeah, and then you lose players like Bo Nix. You have a mediocre program for years, and you have to play catch-up, and you got to do it quickly, and it's not getting anything but tougher.
We got Auburn basketball news. We've been teasing it, really, and I promise we're getting to that when we come back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We're having fun on a Friday edition of On the Line. We got 30 more minutes here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle Tebow, and I'm Jacob Goetz with you on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. We got a couple of phone calls. Let's get to those here on the show. 334-321-1390. We'll begin with John in Auburn. You're on the line. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday, guys. Have three quick comments for y'all.
Okay.
Well, yeah, Uncle T, you're talking about paying players and all that. I have a friend of mine, close friend, who was a defensive back at Delta State, a D3 in Mississippi about 15 years ago. Dave Aranda was their D coordinator at the time. Mm. And this guy tells me, look, even at Delta State, everybody on our two deep was getting paid. So for anybody who thinks this doesn't happen at even a group of five school, give me a break.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, we found an older comment by Nick Saban. This was on May 11th of 2022 up at the region's senior championship golf tournament he was playing in. Asked about when he was accused of tampering by Louisville coach Scott Satterfield. We don't tamper with anybody.
Sure.
And you just admitted last night you tamper. Okay,
oh,
coach. Okay, yeah. Nick.
And to go on the point Jacob's making about high schools, I'm a Lee Scott guy. I used to be the voice of the Warriors. It's amusing to me that these public schools will say, oh, but if you're a private school and you play in the AHSAA, you know, private schools, you guys have to count like 1.3 or 1.5 per student because you can recruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just always been amazing. Hey, last point, real quick. You know, I remember Bo Nix needing to be benched and us bring T.J. Finley in to beat Georgia State.
I did forget about that.
I remember Bo Nix spiking the ball the wrong way to
beat
Arkansas.
With that one.
And you know what? He's a number 12 overall pick. I tell you what, the next time somebody tries to tell me that America is not a land of opportunity, Bo Nix is Exhibit 1. Y'all have a good weekend.
I've been saying that for a long time. Just look at Lane Kiffin. How many times can you be a knucklehead off the field like he is and continue to fall forward?
Well, I say this with the utmost respect. I think Hugh Freeze would probably tell you that. I mean, that's a guy that got in some trouble and thought he could never be a big-time coach again. And look at him. Now he's the head coach at Auburn. And so, John, you bring up a lot of great points. And I'll say this about the AISA Lee Scott thing before we get to Andy. He's right about private schools here in the state. because Lee Scott is moving up to the AHSAA. It is a, I believe it's a 1.35 multiplier, which I don't know how they came up with that number, but for private schools playing in AHSAA, you have to count your attendance by 1.35.
Right.
And because, yeah, the narrative is that you can recruit because you can turn turn students away from your school, because as a private school, you have that right. You have that ability, and so that's been a narrative for a really long time. But you're right, John. Bo Nix has come a long way, and I said it earlier, he's come a long way from, like you just said, being benched against Georgia State. He won Auburn their first game in Baton Rouge since the late 90s, went to Oregon because Brian Harsin ran him off, and a lot of fans did too, and now he's a top 15 draft pick in the NFL. Got to be happy for the guy.
Good for the kid, man.
334-321-1390. Andy, what's up, man? You're on the line.
Man, I'm a little disappointed hearing about this office space and old boys or old school or whatnot. You have till Monday, man. I'm sorry. You have till Monday. Get both of those.
We're going to get turn that off. I'll watch it on Monday. I'll watch it over the weekend and talk about it.
I mean, can you believe that, Andy? I mean, those about classics.
I almost got another wreck here in that show.
I mean, those are top five movie choices.
I don't know how you can get through a conversation for a day and not use one of those one-liners. It's just, Big Lebowski, have you watched that?
Yes, I have. But those two that he's talking about, I have not, no.
All right. Well, Office Space is clever. You know, it's witty. There's some amazing parts. But, yeah, that. And then, you know, a guy just making fun of Bo. That's why quarterbacks usually don't do too well when they start as freshmen. You know, they're 18 years old. And, again, he came a long way. And usually when I watch college football, you know, usually those quarterbacks were good their junior, senior year. So, yeah, he made some mistakes, but he was young. And lastly, I taught out at Phoenix City. And I don't know about doing a move-in, but I do know two things. Those eighth graders were bigger than me, and you know what I look like. And we let them do whatever they wanted at eighth grade. So that's how they turn into these prima donnas, where they didn't get in any trouble. They got good grades and didn't study. So that starts young. And, but when you're an eighth grader and you weigh 250 pounds or you can run, you know, 4.3, you're going to have a pretty easy time in school. So.
Yeah.
I do know that.
Yeah.
That's... All right, man. Well, there you go. Yep. Watch those movies, please.
Yep, will do. Appreciate the call, Andy, and I promise I will. I'll jump on that as soon as I can this weekend. As soon as I can get away from the office and the studio, I'm going to do everything I can. I'll pay to rent it if I have to, but I can't keep taking flack on my show, man. I can't do it. Uncle T-Bone, you've hung me out to dry on this one.
It's a very correctable issue. Yeah, that can happen.
It can be fixed in about 4 hours.
In about four and a half hours, and this is a prescription. Okay, this is advice. This is take it from your good Uncle T-Bone. Go home, sit down, crack open a cold one. Start with Old School and end it with Office Space, and just call me in the morning. You'll feel a lot better.
Will do, man. Well, hey, we appreciate John and Andy both calling in. Phone lines are still open here on a free-for-all Friday, 334-321-1390, and some good points made by those two guys. Want to get to a little Auburn basketball news. We've teased it for the entire show and have yet to really get to it, so I would like to talk about it right now. Auburn basketball is expected to get a visit coming up next week from a portal player, RJ Godfrey from Clemson. The forward, who is 6'8", 228 pounds, played 69 games over 2 years over in Clemson, South Carolina, was playing just about 15 minutes a game or so, averaged 6 points, 3.5 rebounds, shooting 60% from the floor, 62% from the free throw line, so that's not pretty. And he only shot 7 threes, so that's not really his skill set, but a guy that brings a lot of size, a lot of experience at the Power 6 level. He's expected to visit Auburn next week, Uncle T-Bone.
Yeah, big dude, someone with a tremendous amount of size that would have to beat out Chaney Johnson to be your day one starter. That's asking a lot for any transfer coming in. I wonder if this kid really wants to come and sit on the bench or if he's looking for a home where he can start day one. In other news, also guard Duke Miles. He's from High Point University. He'll be planning to be here next week as well. So looks like here pretty soon the Tiger basketball roster, one way or another, will be complete and ready to go after the loss of a few key players in the portal, Trey Donaldson, Katie Johnson, and everybody's favorite former Auburn player, Aiden Holloway, who had some interesting comments again.
Again.
Jacob, I mean, for someone who's just moved on with his life, he sure has a lot of Auburn seems to be renting a lot of real estate inside his head. Quote from Bama Online, I just had to make a little change, which was to go to Alabama. That was the only reason, to get better. I just felt like Auburn wasn't the right program for me to get better. You know, everybody else over at Auburn got better over the course of the season, including your counterpart at point guard, Trey Donaldson, who's progressed very well as a college basketball player. But you just couldn't do it here, could you, pal? But what you can't really do is, like some nasty rash, is just go away. And here's my advice once and for all for Aiden Holloway. Don't go away mad, mama's boy. Just go away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why you would continue to talk and bash your previous program. I mean, what is it going to do? It's like a bad breakup, Uncle Tebow, and you've had your fair share of these. It's like a bad breakup in high school or in college where you guys split up, it didn't work out, it maybe didn't end the way you wanted it to. What good is it going to do for you to go out downtown on a Friday night and talk bad about her? It's not going to get you anywhere but down. That, there's no reason to do it.
He really is beginning to sound like a jilted lover. And he's obviously got an axe to grind. And I wonder if he now, once and for all, it's just pretty apparent, he was just shown the door. He was processed here at Auburn, wasn't he? Because this just sounds like someone who's really bitter and wants some payback and is looking to just shove it in everybody's face. That or he's just one of the dumbest young men ever to come through Auburn's any program over at Auburn, and he's just getting terrible advice.
Well, I think
but one other thing, too, here is what's bad is the fact that the coaches over there just continue to let him ramble on. Do you think that Nick Saban would allow any of his players to say these kind of things about anybody in public, in a public forum, on again and again, and talk to the press? Heck no. You don't want to give anybody any bulletin board material. Buddy, you're not just giving us bulletin board material. You're giving us shells to shoot out of the howitzer at you.
I mean, I'm going to look at it from the crimson and white glasses, though. They're sitting in Tuscaloosa right now thinking, man, listen to these guys in Auburn and the fans in Auburn. They're all fired up over Aiden Holloway coming here. He may not even play. He may not even be our starting point guard next year, and they're all fired up about it. And I'll tell you who knows that better than anybody. The head coach of Alabama, Nate
Yeah, he
Oates.
Continues to try and use just any kind of platform or use anybody, and he's using Aiden Holloway here to kind of needle Auburn and try and needle at Bruce Pearl. He's been doing this from day one. That's why I've called him, you know, Nate the Blowhard Oates for years. He so desperately wants to have some kind of mudslinging, nasty rivalry with Auburn. It's just, you know, I mean, buddy, you've got a nice little program over there. Act accordingly.
You're coming off a Final Four. Like, I mean, I don't understand.
You know, why are you worrying about continue to try and get in a rock-throwing contest with an in-state rival? It's just not even worth it. But, you know, I guess that's his style, or maybe it's just an insecurity of his. I don't know.
Some other news for Auburn basketball, something that kind of fell the guy fell under the wayside because you didn't know what the status was, and it wasn't an over-the-top concern, I think, for Auburn. But it was announced earlier today that Chris Moore will return for his fifth season on the Plains. And look, we've had our thoughts and conversations about Chris Moore. He's an experienced guy. He's a fan favorite. People like him. You know what you're getting with Chris Moore is kind of where I stand on him. I mean, you know exactly what you're going to get with Chris Moore. And with the guys that Auburn has brought in already through the transfer portal, I know you lose a couple of guys, but between Jani Broome and Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker-Mazzara, you're going after the Clemson transfer. I mean, you've got the guys already. Like, Chris Moore's minutes last year were very, very, very limited because you saw the lack of production that he brings most of the time when he's on the floor. Good for him. I mean, I'm excited. You bring an experienced guy in the locker room back, but he's not going to give you a whole lot on the floor next year, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, look, glad he's back. definitely with that kind of experience in the system and how things work, he can help mentor younger players that come in. Solid guy in the locker room, plays a little defense, gives your guys a good rest there for a hot minute. I don't think he's a liability by any sorts except when he's just hucking up threes. Mm. But occasionally when he's open, drains some. So I'm glad he's back. You know, look, this is – what are you going to do, go out in the portal and spend even more money? You only have so many dollars to spend, Jake.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's almost like a money ball move. This is a guy who's been with us for years. We appreciate your loyalty. You got a great attitude. You're a fan favorite. You know what? Come on back and let's run it again one more time.
I'm not going to try and hype up a guy that's averaged 3 points and 2 rebounds over his career here at Auburn, but it's a guy that's been here for a long time. And yeah, as you said, bring him back, be a good practice piece, sure, in the locker room, senior leader. I'm here for it. Chris Moore coming back to one more year at Auburn. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Friday edition of On the Line and send you to the weekend. We'll do that coming up next.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Man, we appreciate you all being with us all show long. One segment, 1 hour, doesn't matter to us. We just appreciate you tuning in each and every day here on the show. Uncle Tebow, we say it all the time. Say it every day. Nobody's working harder than we are, and nobody's having more fun than we are. And today's been that. We've talked all sorts of conversations on the show today.
Yep. Never really got around to talking about the Raiders taking Brock Bowers. There was strong indication that the Chiefs were going to get him in the first round. I think the Raiders got a steal right there with the absolute best all-around pure football player in the draft. There was some serious criticism of this draft pick, which I'm not today on ESPN and on some radio shows I heard. I'm just not buying it. I mean, it just is another brick in the wall for me on why a lot of the national media is just fake news. I heard someone on ESPN on a radio show this morning say that they didn't think Brock Bowers was much of a blocker. And I was like, do you watch college football? Do you actually watch the game?
No.
Because that guy
can
do just about anything that any tight end can do. I understand that. And I mean, it's also just kind of like such an ignorant statement because tight ends are so much different than they used to be. Because it used to be, oh, you got to be this 6'4", 288 tight end, or you're just an extra, you know, offensive tackle on the edge. The game has changed.
And catch it on third and four when we throw it to you.
Yeah, like the two times you get looks at it. You know, the game has totally changed, and Brock Bowers is a perfect example of it. Good for the Oakland / LA / now Las Vegas Raiders, and I'll be pulling for him. I'm a huge Brock Bowers fan. It's hard to say as an Auburn fan since he was a dog, but that guy just seems like he's a great guy, and he is a generational-type talent. And if you look at all the best teams in the NFL, all the ones who make deep, deep runs, including the Super Bowl, they all got a premier tight end.
Yeah, and I mean, just look at the NFL nowadays. It's tight end dominated, and rightfully so. I mean, there's some really good ones, and NFL teams have realized they can use them.
Yeah, well, exactly. And another thought on that is a lot of the criticism was, well, the Raiders should have traded up and got J.J. McCarthy. And then you just and I think they're taking the realistic and practical look at rebuilding their franchise properly that I'm preaching. I think Auburn University's doing that in football. You have to acquire key talent across the roster. You know, the few times that Auburn hasn't been mediocre really and truly since about 2006-07 when Tommy Tuberville was here, they had one generational players at quarterback, right? But you got to have but this NFL draft proves that you have to have across the board roster talent. And so why not start with a Brock Bowers in that rebuild? Because he is, I believe, the best player, pure football player in this draft.
Well, I mean, no matter what room he steps in, which is obviously going to be the Raiders now, but any room that he steps in, he instantly gives a quarterback more confidence because he's just right. That much of a playmaker, right? Get it in his hands. That's all you got to do. Put it in his hands and he'll do the rest.
I mean, if you're a GM sitting here, would you risk the bank and the future of your owner's millions of dollars on trading up to get J.J. McCarthy, or would you take Brock Bowers when he falls to you?
Brock Bowers.
I mean, it just makes total sense. But
unless you just desperately need a quarterback and you just you're just so scared of going after somebody,
right? That's what they're not getting. That's what they were saying about the Raiders today, and they're anticipating that Gardner Minshew is probably going to start for them. And you know, would you rather have him over the next couple of years or J.J. McCarthy while you wait to see who the quarterback may finally be of the future?
Right. I mean, do you think J.J. McCarthy? Do you think J.J. McCarthy is this the best quarterback over the next 4 years in the draft?
No.
Exactly. No. So there you go.
No, and in my mind, unless you could have got Caleb Williams, but especially could have got Jaden Daniels, which you really would have had to mortgage the entire future for somebody like Las Vegas to do, those would be the only ones I would have truly looked at in this draft. But instead, they did the smart thing, took a deep breath. We're not going to make this splash trade and waste a lot of draft picks. We're going to use all of these draft picks moving forward to rebuild the whole totality of the roster, and it's going to start with Brock Bowers, and I think it's a genius move.
It's been a great show today. Again, we appreciate you all being with us, whether it's been one segment, 1 hour, both hours, doesn't matter, man. We've had a lot of fun here on the Friday edition of On the Line. If you missed any of it, you can go and listen to the podcast later on today, right after the show at ESPNAU.com. And Uncle T-Bone, we got to send a farewell to yet another intern come through the system here at ESPN 106.7. Intern Allen has been fantastic, man. He's been a lot of fun to have in the studio every day. He's done fantastic work for us in other studios, running broadcast and audio. I mean, just doing everything. And Alan, you've done a great job, man. And now you've been hopping on the show. We've had a third co-host every day, and now you're leaving us.
It's a very, very difficult day here in the studio, having to leave you two fine gentlemen after an incredible semester of learning a lot about production and some on-air work. It's been a whole lot of fun, though. I'm gonna miss you guys.
Yeah, man. Well, look, congratulations to you on graduating and going into the adult world. What's the quote from Friends? Welcome to adulthood. It sucks. That's what they say. So, well, congrats to you. We're gonna miss you, man. And you've been another. You can turn his mic off, Alan. Turn his mic off. Get him out of here. We appreciate you, man. And, hey, we appreciate all of our wonderful listeners as well. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Also, tune in Auburn High School baseball tonight, softball and baseball tomorrow, all over on 96.3 W Lee with Jack Hutton. Tune in. Go over there, 4:45 today for Auburn High School baseball in the playoffs at Enterprise. He's Uncle T-Bone. Intern Allen as well. I'm Jacob Goins. We'll be back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.